We here at Dungeons & Pop are celebrating over 2 years of podcasting and are having a dice giveaway. If you go to our Twitter, at Dungeons Pop, and you retweet our giveaway post, you get one entry. If you tag us in a tweet, replies don't count, telling your friends to listen, you get two entries. If you tell us your favorite Adventures with Attitude or Breaking Point character, and why, you get two entries. Tag us so we'll see it. We will be picking at random the winner at the end of June.
Welcome, listeners, to episode 3 of Fictional Heroism, Time to Face the Music. When we last left the Dyad Squad, they were completing their investigations into the crazy mall that they found themselves in, where a small child had been abducted. After a strange conversation with a business owner named Anton Morgan, the party had gotten into an antique shop that had shown some of the strange Muppets that they had been seeing around the mall in the display, and were looking into more information about the creator of the Muppets and what their link is to the child. When the shutters slammed down inside the building and when they looked around, the puppets were nowhere to be seen. Our promo for this week is, again, Y'all Come Back. It's a silly improv podcast with a lot of love and humor behind it. It's kind of an interesting fact about the podcast is that the people who started it are all graduates of Transylvania University. And now, on to our promo.
From the middle of a donut-shaped island in the middle of a lake comes a podcast about the small miracles and big hearts of small-town life.
I'm Y'all Come Back's fire chief and town historian, Gil Gilman.
And I'm our superintendent and coroner, Baby Smith Jones Johnson.
That first guy you heard? He's our new mayor.
And we recruited him to help us save our town and start a podcast.
You see, the state is trying to strip us of our status as a town. And while Mayor Manny has a lot to learn about the town
and fashion,
together we can show the world why Y'all Come Back deserves its place.
This is a place where friends make each other casserole and hold hands to scream at eldritch spirits.
This is a place where cats hold public office, a place where children can strive for glory in the Little Miss Cornhole competition.
This is Y'all Come Back.
Y'all Come Back.
Oh, sorry. This is Y'all Come Back.
No, Manny, say it from the gizzard, like we practiced.
This is Y'all Come Back.
Listen to This Is Y'all Come Back wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, on to our show. Greetings, listeners, and welcome back to Fictional Heroism, Time to Face the Music, with some special guests. You guys like to introduce yourself?
Well, as my dear friend just said, I'm in everything. Hello, listeners, this is Eric, once again filling your ears with my dulcet tones.
And my name's Rob. I am the GM on the Name Givers podcast, which also has Eric in it. So yes, that does check out. He is in everything. So, yeah, looking forward to this.
Wow, it has been quite a long time since you have heard my voice on this show, but, yes, this is, Wesley. I am, you will be hearing me around, the Thornvale podcast, where I play a principal role, along with several other smaller ones, including Witches of the City and my own, The Story Vault, which has actually been out of circulation for a very long time, and I need to fix that. Anyway, I'm back too, and I am excited.
Wait a minute, I thought your character in Thornvale was a student. How can you be playing the principal?
See, he would, in his own mind, he would love to be the principal, yep. And then he could decide all the rules. But let's face it, he would not have the patience. He would be more likely to injure somebody than to sit and listen to their problem. So...
Well, that's counselor, not principal, but yeah. I don't see Henry doing that.
Well, see, ultimately, if the counselor fails, then it ultimately goes to the principal, and he would just be like, I'm too busy, I can't deal with this, because I have actual problems to deal with, like the collapse of our entire town. So...
Fair. So, I don't know about you listeners, but it's been a while since we've visited this world and these characters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we need a bit of a reminder about what went down and what we're going to have to face here in about, 20 seconds?
Oh, boy. Oof. Okay, here we go.
It's funny you bring up that it's been a while since you've been on here, Wesley, because this whole arc is being released in sequence. So they're going to hear that clearly the next week.
All good.
Well then, retcon, I've been here the entire time.
He's eaten all the Cheetos.
I've been trapped in this closet for weeks. Help.
Mm-hmm. No food, no water. I'm a skeleton. Oh.
It will also explain the change in quality in my voice, listeners. Since this has been a half a year. Was it half a year or a year?
Oh gosh, has it been that long?
No, half a year. It was September. It was September. Which would make it about 7-8 months now? Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Too long.
Previously, the aforementioned dad squad, despite the fact none of them know that they're dads yet. Any of them know yet.
Way to drop the spoilers there!
I'm just saying, you guys are the ones who named yourself the dad squad, because your characters all have dad bods.
Guilty.
You're gonna give me a lead. I may use that.
That was me. I listened to the part two earlier today. So, yeah, long story short, we came to investigate a missing child. We found a creepy shop run by a creepy shopkeeper, and we were pointed to a second creepy shop with an equally creepy shopkeeper who was good at sleight of hand, ledger domain, stage magic, as he piffed behind the counter to behind us. And as he did that, that is when shit hit the fan. The security gate came down, and all of the puppets in the shop disappeared on us as the lights went out? Or just those two in particular?
Yeah. Yeah, were there two or were there three?
Yeah.
Oh, right. The three.
So I'm remembering it slightly differently there.
Yeah, the three. The Vigo the Carpathian puppet, the Chinese dragon that was circling around it, and then the teddy bear that fell off the shelf and slashed me across the nose.
Oh,
that was in a different shop. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Oh, that was in the first shop. Okay.
That was in the first shop. There wasn't a keeper in the second shop, was there?
No, the keeper was the one who wanted to work with the puppet maker who made the creepy puppets. And
Yeah, that was the first shop.
That was the first shop?
Yeah.
I thought that was the second shop. Boy, I really do have a goldfish memory.
I don't know. We should ask the keeper.
Yeah, clarification here.
Well, I mean, as far as you know, there's two puppets in the shop you're trapped in. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Oh, okay. So.
Yeah, but we're talking about the shopkeepers.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So second one, we don't know about the shopkeeper.
I don't remember if I actually put a shopkeeper in that one or not.
No, I don't. I listened to it today. I don't.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys walked in, you guys started investigating, and all hell broke loose.
Yeah,
good.
Pretty much.
Good. Now we'll be consistent.
Okay.
Now no one will know I didn't. Now as I edit this out later, no one will know I didn't have. I forgot to put notes.
Exactly.
Works for me.
The magic of editing.
So the security gate comes down, the lights go off, our contractor dad bod friend has his little pen light, and I have my smartphone.
Yep, exactly.
That at least I remember.
And I don't believe my character would require... I mean, I don't know. This would be up to the master. Whether or not my character would require light, considering
I doubt it.
His otherworldly nature.
I guess it sounds like you guys are ready to read a bad situation now, doesn't it?
No, I still have a hold from last time on read a bad situation. So if I can use that in the second shop.
Oh, all right.
Nice.
Let me pull up the list, because I remember I held three. I used two, I'm pretty sure is the way it had worked. So I think I would go with my best way out.
I think as you're looking around the room, you get the sense the best way out is as suggested by Eric out of character. Is your best way out is probably going to be going through the back exit.
Yeah.
It's less likely to be as reinforced as the front, because like I said, the shutter, they're literally metal shutters breaking down. And
so this is sounding familiar. I think I asked this at the end of last session. I think I used that one. And you gave the same answer. So yeah. Oh, well, I think I'm good there.
But yeah, as far as you guys know, the puppets are missing.
Yeah.
You don't know where they are.
All right. I'll let someone else roll three to bad situation, maybe, since I used that one.
All right. I think I will roll bad situation.
It sounded like you wanted all of us to, so I'm going to do that too.
Mm-hmm. I'll hold off since I had that one hold before. And see if there's something else I can do. I'm sure you'll get enough questions out of these two.
Not bad.
All right, that's a mixed success.
Oh.
Oh, nice.
That's very nice.
That is a 10, everybody. A 10.
And for the record, I got an 8.
All right.
All right, so which three do you want?
Mm-hmm. I actually had to print the... I had to print the list to look at it, because I always forgot it in my own game. I forgot the questions. I know this one might be hard to answer as the lights are out, but are there any dangers we haven't noticed?
Okay, I think, Marcus, as you're looking around, it's weird. I think as a magical being, you do have a magical sight, but there seems to be almost like a presence obscuring everything.
Mm.
But as you're looking around, you catch a movement.
Oh, no.
Of something small and low to the ground.
Oh.
And the sound of rustling, and you swear for a moment, there's two little... It's like two things low to the ground moving opposite directions.
Okay. Creepy. Got it.
Oh, and you almost... And, you know, this isn't the creepy part, though. This isn't the creepy part.
That's not the creepy part.
Oh, okay.
It's almost as if the presence wants you to be scared, because there's like a little bit of it light, like the edge of fog. It looks almost like there's entrails going in opposite direction. That's a little bit of whatever it is you can see. It's just these red...
Oh!
Red... Ready, stringy stuff.
Okay. Oh, well, okay then.
Yikes!
Oh my.
Wow, alright. This went straight up Friday the 13th. Got it.
Oy.
Okay. Alright, so
I have my suspicions on this one. Okay.
What is the best way to protect the victims, as in us?
Good one.
Besides getting out of there.
You get the sense, you're thinking about what you saw, the puppet. One of them definitely was long and stringy, and you get like the feeling like, okay, this thing was wrapped around the other puppet. So you get the kind of feeling you guys want to stay together, because if one of you gets off on your own or gets far enough behind, you're having a feeling it's gonna try to restrain them.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Makes sense. Go after the straggler.
Well, I am actually pretty good at doing this fully creepy shit. And I'm supposed to be the one who doesn't really like this stuff. Just like Eric.
I thought that was my line.
I'm not sure if I have any other ones that fit here, because the best way out, we already know.
Yeah.
And...
Well, if we know that...
And obviously the...
Best way in doesn't make any sense.
And the puppets are the biggest threat, obviously, whatever that was.
Maybe not.
Possibly not, you're right. Yeah, biggest threat, last question.
I think you get the sense that the biggest threat may be the one of those puppets is definitely bigger than the other. So you get a feeling maybe it may be something that hits harder. Just because, you know, it was like, the Beagle doll was practically the size of a short 13-year-old compared to, like, oh, the snaky thing.
So we talking, like, what, 3 feet tall or something?
Like, I want to say 4 feet.
Woof.
4 feet.
Okay.
Oof.
It literally looked like a Muppet you would expect to see on stage with a person. Let's put it that way.
Oh, please do not ruin the Muppets for me. Don't make them murdering Muppets, please.
Okay. So, like a ventriloquist doll?
Avenue Q. Avenue Q.
Yep.
Oh. Ooh.
Or the Happyville Murders.
Okay.
Or Meet the Feebles.
All right. I think Marcus, upon absorbing this in the space of a few seconds, they're going to hear him from out of the dark say, "It'd be best if we all group together now. I think whatever that was might be coming for us at any time."
No kidding.
I think so.
And then, like, the one thing that they might see, if there was a light here, I don't know if there's any outside light since it's, you know, since the power's out. But they're gonna hear a sort of a rustling sound, and they won't. I don't know if they'll see it, but if there's any light, it might catch on the blade of his hand weapon, which he has decided to pull out, which is a rather large, very substantial single blade knife.
Yeah,
think like a Bowie knife. Okay, he's got that.
I think I've got a multi tool.
Yeah, we all pulled out our weapons at the end of the last episode.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. I can't remember if I pulled out the handgun or the multi-tool, but...
You did the handgun, because I made mention of my 38.
Right. Yes, I remember that.
In reference to him pulling out the knife.
Can I use a move here? And I'm just gonna silly fun one, but we'll see what Sean does with this.
Before you do, Rob...
Oh, go ahead. Yep.
I still have my question from Investigate a Mystery.
Yeah, go ahead.
The last question that wasn't covered. What's most vulnerable to me?
They're Muppets.
I mean, it's a fair question.
They're Muppets.
You know.
You've got a gun.
Yeah, okay.
And you're Muppet. Okay, well, actually, wait, no. I would say you get the sense the dragon might be more vulnerable to you because it's skinny, it's long.
It's smaller, it's less weighty. Okay.
You think for a moment that it's like they're Muppets, but then you think about it, the other one... It's a Muppet. How are you going to kill a Muppet?
Yeah.
A large human-sized Muppet with a gun. It may take more.
To be fair, it's probably going to be better off with a knife.
Yeah.
Closer range, but hey, dismemberment works, right?
Yeah, slashy slashy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to, if you'd be okay with this, use the move Oops.
All right.
So if you'd like to stumble across something important, tell the keeper. You will find something important and useful, although not necessarily related to your immediate problem. No role or anything, just it happens.
Okay. I think as you guys are going along, Kyle, you trip on something in the back. That feels like a light.
Oh.
Oh!
Maybe reach down. Is it a leg?
Well, I mean, you trip. I think you like trip and you fall on it.
Oh, okay.
Oops.
It's true.
And here's the thing that really makes this whole thing even worse is you land on what looks to be a human. You think it's a human body, right? You land on it. The facial features, everything about it.
Yep.
It is very well crafted.
Oh.
Oh boy.
But this is a puppet, not a human.
Yeah, it's. But you feel it, and it's still...
Is it feels as heavy as a person, though? Like, it doesn't have that looseness?
It feels heavy, like... it feels loose, but just how it feels, like... It kind of gives you a sense that maybe whatever is going on, it's... I think it's... It makes you think back to the first mystery that you guys had.
Yeah.
The missing child?
Oh, no, the first one when you first met, you know, like, you know, when it was Bat Dad versus...
Oh, the murder at the McMansion?
The murder at the McMansion.
Where was I?
That was when you almost killed. That's where you and Marcus were fighting first. Remember?
Yeah. You almost killed me.
How we know each other.
History was an actual. It wasn't an actual game. Okay.
Yeah.
And you kind of get. I feel like you kind of get the sense there's a force behind this. But it's definitely this person. You get the sense from this puppet that you've landed on. People could have walked in. It's so wonderfully made. You're almost in awe for a moment, and you're freaking like, what the hell is going on? You're like, wow, this guy should be on TV. Whoever made this should be on TV. Because if you'd walked in and this thing was being held up,
yeah,
you'd have to have touched it to discern it from a normal person.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Oh, we're talking animatronics level here.
Okay, and...
Oh, it's not an animatronic, but it's just very well-grounded.
No. I mean quality-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right.
Being close to a wax museum, but not wax.
Like Disney's Hall of Presidents, animatronic quality-wise.
Yep. Okay. I guess maybe I'll point at the body, especially point at it to Marcus. Got better eyes for it, right?
And just one question. I'm guessing not, but would these puppets be classified as people? It is relevant, I promise.
Could always say you don't know, you know.
Well, it's
would they are they classified as?
And that, folks, is a laugh of a man who doesn't want to reveal a secret.
It is specific to my character why I am asking this question.
It will be you'd have to try. Let's put it that way. You'd have to try. It is a very complicated question that I would almost need a roll on this. Let's put it this way. We need a roll or an attempt.
Yeah. All right. I think just for narrative cool factor, I'm going to I will still roll if you want me to, because it's actually a move I have, which I have not yet used, known as incorporeal.
Ooh.
Which means that I can move through solid objects, but I cannot move through people.
If they are
people, I cannot.
Okay.
So you can give it a try.
So I think what he's going to do is, if he has had this pointed out, he looks down and he, I think, can pick it out a little better than the other two, because his eyes have taken on that I believe I described it as a white... like white orb kind of look, or maybe it was blue. It was either white or blue. Either way, it looks cool. And as this happens, yes, I'm reaching out my hand, and it looks a bit like a photo negative or an X-ray image.
Ooh.
Like the it's like this blue energy, this blue light from inside, and I'm reaching out towards this possible puppet, possible human to see, because. If my hand passes through it, it is not a human. If my hand cannot pass through it, it is very much a person. So I reach out and let. I'm guessing you're going to need me to roll for this. Yes.
Yeah, I would say it's an investigative mystery.
Right. Because I was wondering if because this is a move, I wasn't sure if I had to roll the move itself or just investigate mystery.
I would say it's investigate a mystery for this particular thing because you're using the move to try to determine something.
Yes.
Makes sense. Also, I goofed up on my read a bad situation. I forgot I had a move that allows me to switch out sharp for cool.
What is it? Would that bump you up? I would give you if that bumps you.
My character may be a tactical genius, but I'm not.
Well, if it bumps you up, I would give you one more questionnaire, and we'll just set it in post.
At this point, it's kind of silly. I'll just remember ongoing.
There wasn't any questions left, I think, at this point.
Yeah. The only one didn't make any sense to ask, so...
All right, so... Pulling four in this...
Oh, no.
That is a five, I think. Ooh.
Yes, it is.
Yep, it is. That is a failure, but experience.
Experience?
Yes, that is true.
Okay. Okay.
I'm guessing this thing does not like personal space being invaded.
Oh, it gets a little bit better. So.
Oh boy! Great. Okay.
Better?
Question mark.
Better for who exactly?
Worse or better?
Better for the death machine that wants to kill me? Great.
So as you're trying to do this, as you try to reach inside, it screams in your face suddenly and lashes out.
Okay. All right.
With a clawed hand, and you take one harm as you're scratched.
Okay. I will take a harm then. Great. Awesome.
I just also realized something. Last episode, I shouldn't have gotten injured because I have a flak vest. And I have a move that ups my armor, battlefield awareness. So I technically have two armor. Oh, wait, no. No, I failed on that, so that's why I got scratched.
Yeah.
Do we see Marcus being...
accosted?
Oh, yeah, because I think that Cal, you got off it, and Marcus bent down. All of a sudden, it screams, and it lashes out.
All right.
Can I shoot it?
I will give you one piece, though. You do notice, Marcus, as you do this, something feels wrong. It almost seems like it triggered whatever just happened.
Okay. So is it something like proximity, or... Huh.
It almost feels like... Like, if you were... It doesn't feel like when you try to phase through a human body, but it also doesn't feel like when you try to just phase through a normal... It feels somewhere in between.
Ooh.
Feel like you get the sense you woke this up by trying to go through it, and it may not be a person now, but that's not a guarantee that it wasn't.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think he's just going to... stumble back and ready his weapon upon nursing an injury. Yeah.
Sean.
Yeah.
As this thing screams and Marcus stumbles back, and that is really weird because I play Marcus too.
Yeah, I know.
Different Marcus.
Can I shoot it?
Well, sounds like you want to kick some ass, so.
I do.
I also thought the reaching out and touching it worked because his sharp is not very big.
Reaching out.
So.
Touching you.
touching me. Yes.
Sweet Caroline. Ba, ba, ba.
Okay. Okay.
All right, sorry.
No, I get it. I'm in the habit of shutting off potential songs because... I do that too much in our show, and Susanna is like, we can't have any more than this much, because if we do, then that's copyright.
Oh, no, I understand that. I also don't want to be annoying about it, but I'm just so happy to be doing this again.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Bravo on song choice. It's great. Actually, that one came up. We had Thornvale Plays last night, and we that one came up as we were doing Jackbox games, and it was fun.
That was fun when I played the one time with you guys. So, that was a 7.
Okay. Alright, what's your harm?
Let's see, my harm... 2.
Okay, so you've...
Close, reload, and loud, so poor Marcus is gonna have ringing ears, probably.
Oh, man. Gunshot.
I mean, he's a Banhee. He might be able to handle loud sounds.
Now I'm just picturing the gun goes off, and then he just turns, and he's like, you call that loud? And then he just, no. No, he's not going to do that, but...
That would be good, though.
John, you fire down into this man-putt. Bad pun.
Yeah. I'd also like to say, I double-tap. I go, boom, boom!
Yeah, and it jerks away, and as you do this, there is a sudden rustling at your feet, and you feel something snake up around your leg and grapple it.
Ah, crap sticks.
Oh, man. Can I take a couple shots myself?
Yeah. Rolls, kick some ass.
Okay, so I'm going to roll... That's what tough?
Mm-hmm. Which I have a -1 of, which is why it was a mixed success.
Oh, and also... What was the moves you had, Eric, that give you armor, just as a heads up?
Well, one, I have a flak vest, which is 1 armor. And then my other move is battlefield awareness, I always know what's happening around me and to what to watch out for. Take one armor, max of two, on top of whatever you get from your gear.
Okay,
that's a 9.
All right.
Mixed success. I think I'm also going to take a couple shots.
All right. And then how much damage do you do, Rob?
2. Pretty much the same. It's the close, loud, and 2 harm.
Okay, it stumbles back. It's looking pretty damaged, but it's not down yet. You kind of get the sense from it that because of the size of it, it's almost like armor itself to anything that just like just hits it, because you know
it's more durable.
Yeah,
because you're just it's tearing into it, but it's just like it's like a tiny bullet versus like.
Mm-hmm. Can I shoot it again?
And I'm guessing I'm trading harm because it's a mixed success, right?
Yep. Yeah. You.
I don't think I have armor at all. I don't see any notes about that, and I'm pretty sure the mundane wouldn't come with it. So.
And, Kyle, as you're doing this, you feel something. You feel an arm wrap around your neck and pull you into the shadows as Viggo, the Papapian, drags you into the shadows as he grapples you for one harm.
Okay, I'll take that. Yeah, you hear him. You didn't cover my mouth, though, so I guess you hear this, like, sudden kind of unexpected shriek out of him as he gets pulled out of nowhere into the dark.
Oh, and I would say as you shriek, you hear other shrieks in the room.
You got Batmaned.
Yep. Oh, no.
Mm.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's almost as if these things are attracted to sound.
Uh-oh. Oh, if only I had my sniper rifle with me. No, that was a weapon option, and I took it. 4 harm, and I don't have to be anywhere near these things.
Well, I mean, we still gotta try to navigate our way toward the exit, since yep. We're stuck.
And we gotta figure out what happened to the kid. And we have to find the lady who called us in here.
Yes, but we have to get out of here first so we're not dead. So
yeah. So I've been pulled away. Can I basically kind of just struggle and try to get out of this thing's grip?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember which move this would be. I think
that would be probably what is it called?
Act under pressure.
Act under pressure, yeah. And act under pressure is...
Oh, and okay, so that's everyone's turn. Okay, so this is a starter.
That's cool, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to give it a try. Oh, no.
Yeah, plus cool.
3.
Oh, no.
Ooh, boy.
Things get worse, right?
Oh, yeah. So as you try to struggle again, it scratches across your chest for another harm.
Can I try to reach for one at my...
We're going to be buddies.
My knife and try to slash this thing? And cut myself out of this?
Well, that's your part for this turn, so I got to... So it's...
Okay. Yeah, no. Go on.
Wesley and Eric, get a turn.
Yeah.
Since I shot it twice, I'll say that second shot was my move for this round. So
Oh no! That's how I was figuring the damage. He shot with the damage.
Okay, so Wesley.
Yeah. Upon seeing him get pulled away, since I can see at least somewhat better than the other two, I think I might try to follow. And seeing him get attacked a second time, I think I might try to. Very strongly encourage this thing to get off him.
I love the phrasing.
That is a 9.
Oh, 9. So I have a question here on this 9.
Yeah.
As a mundane, I have Power of the Heart, where I can help out and automatically succeed with a 10.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Is there a narrative way for me to do this, though, if he's using magic?
Yeah, duck.
Yeah, you could, you, I mean, it's grappled you, but it's still like a small person Muppet. You could literally just duck forward. I would say you use power of heart. You see this coming, and you just duck down and...
Maybe...
I did say cover your ears, so...
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if maybe I can do some maneuver that would probably make it so that it would actually deal more damage, basically. Because that'll convert that 9 to a 10.
Might I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
If it's grappling you, but you can still move around because it is smaller than you...
Yeah.
You could kind of maybe...
Turn around.
Twist and kind of push it in front of you.
Yep.
And then kind of duck out of the way.
Yep. I think I'll do that, flip around and twist, and then just it gets caught. And this is the nature of the mundane. I mean, it's always just lucky things happen.
Right.
Just happens to hit this thing the right way, and that'll convert Wesley's 9 to a 10.
Okay.
Ooh.
For Marcus under help out.
I'm not going to try to favor this in an audible sense because, yeah, my voice does not reach the super hypersonic pitch that this will sound like. So just insert your own sound here, everybody.
Or we can get sound effects thrown in, right?
Or sound effect.
I was going to say we might have a sound effect.
That's also true. I'm just imagining if there is any glass, anything in this shop, it is no longer in one piece.
All right. What are your two options?
Oh, because use magic. What are the two options?
Yeah, choose your effect.
Oh, because telekinesis has special two options. Because
okay.
On a 10 or more, you move it, choose two options, and mark one harm.
Oh.
But good news. One of the options is you suffer one less harm. Because telekinesis is anything not picked is not true. Something is held fast. Something is hurt. Two harm smash. Something catches on fire. You fling something bigger than a person. You keep it basically under your control, or you suffer one less harm.
I'll go for something is hurt. Two harm and smash. Because that's pretty much what this is going to do. Is going to pick it up and throw it very far away.
Okay, and what's your second option?
I don't know how this... I'll just say keep it... Because it makes some kind of sense. Keep it basically under your control, as in its thrown, and then, like, it's so very intimidated by this that it... or rather that it takes time to get up, and therefore it is still under my control.
Okay. Don't forget to mark the harm, then.
Which, and that's for... two harms. All right, fine.
Oh, no, one harm, because remember you had a help out that brought it up to a 10.
Yep.
Yes, that's one harm, yep. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Or you can also choose, yeah, okay. Because that's one thing to remember, too, with it is I had to remember when I played telekinesis is you always have that option of negating the harm.
Yeah, I've never played a strong magic user before in this system, so that's why.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because that's an option too. Is you can also just choose to suffer one less harm, so you don't take any harm.
Okay.
Basically, lets you trade out. Lets you negate the harm. Okay, so yeah, as you're preparing this magical attack, Cal sees this and remembers the last time this happened, and
we have a routine.
Just kind of ducks forward. The puppet looks at you, shocked, just as you manage to blast it and throw it across the room into the door.
Ooh.
Take that, Vigo.
You hear a raspy, "I will return."
Okay.
We'll be ready.
That loses some gravity when I've literally just thrown it across the room, but okay.
Right? Okay. Oh, and I think Cal will get off and be like, yeah, I hate dolls. Creepy.
Oh, is it actually dead? Did we actually kill it?
Oh, I don't think so.
No, it's harm. It's hurt. Not dead.
But not dead. Okay.
I think Cal's more or less ignoring it right now. Just assuming it's probably dead when it's across the room.
I think my character is still watching it very carefully because it was still I mean, I did say it was still under my control, so I think it's just watching me very warily too, because it just got body slammed without me even touching it. So, yeah, I'm watching it, and then if I see it move, I might try to go again, but I don't want to take anyone else's turn. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, I think if I see Marcus taking his time to stare at it, I'm going to look back and go, oh, is this thing still? Oh. And do we see it still moving?
It's reaching out at you, Cal, as you look at it. It's trying to stretch out its arms, even though it's pressed against the wall.
Well, if that isn't...
Shoot it.
Yeah. I think it's time to pull out the handgun again.
Oh, I think it's... Eric's got a turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we're in the next round. At least in my understanding, everyone takes a round.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, yeah, it's entirely up to you.
I have two problems. One is the human that Marcus awoke that I've shot twice. And two is whatever's wrapped around my leg.
Oh, by the way, Marcus, can I have a... Or not Marcus, John... Sorry, Eric. I'm so used to calling you Marcus. John, I need a flat sharp roll from you.
Exactly my point.
That's fine.
See, I'm gonna not make the musical joke, but okay. Oh, come on.
Take your experience.
True enough.
That's a five.
You don't notice anything about the doll. It's just shot a doll. There's nothing coming out of it that might be important.
Gee.
Fun.
Ah, wow.
All right. So that thing wrapped around my leg. How tightly is it wrapped around my leg?
It is grappling you.
Okay.
That's what I will say. It's like wrapped around your leg as if it's grappling you and it may be preparing to do something else.
Nope, not going to say it. I'm just going to reach down, grab the thing and try to take it off my leg.
All right. I believe that would be a act under pressure.
Okay. Act under pressure. Okay. It's a mixed success, but it's a success.
Ooh.
All right. As you reach down, you feel the head of what you can only assume was the Chinese dragon, but the thing is, as you're touching it, it rustles, and you can feel it tense. The price to pay is you can choose to throw it away, but it's going to get a bite in on you. Armor defeating? Yeah.
Ooh.
Or you're going to throw it away, but you're going to lose your gun in the dark.
No.
That's a hard choice.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. I'll take the two harm. The gun will be useful.
Or, as a worse outcome, you can throw it away, but your attention's going to be drawn away from the...
Other puppet?
Yeah.
No, I'm still going to take the two harm. That seems like the best option here.
Okay.
Because I planned on tossing it at the other puppet, so...
Yeah, it'd be one harm as it bites.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah?
Because I have the flak jacket, and I have the move that gives me another armor. So I technically have two armor.
Yeah, but I said it was armor defeating. Because you're literally...
Okay.
You're literally grabbing at its head where it can easily bite your hand. You don't have a flak jacket on your hand.
That is true. So is it going to be one, you said?
Yep. I play harm if it armor, there's a point where armor defeating makes sense. Like if it's something where like you're wearing a jacket and they're biting at an unarmed thing, that kind of makes sense. Or if you're actively, you know, you're actively putting yourself in danger.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes sense. All right, so that's one harm.
And I will say something disturbing you see as you throw it away. It's only half of the dragon.
And that explains the...
Ooh.
Yeah, you can see the realistic entrails that Marcus saw hanging out of the back end.
There we go.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to turn me off.
Can I take a couple shots at Vigo?
Yeah.
All right. Am I rolling? I'm rolling with tough then, I'm guessing, so...
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. Oh, an 11.
All right.
Nice.
Oh, boy. Very nice.
Full success. Yeah, I'm just going to bang, bang. That's two harm. Close, loud.
Okay. And then what's your extra effect?
Oh, right. Okay, now I've got to look up what my extra effects are. Kick some ass. Okay, I think I'll give plus one to Marcus.
Okay.
Plus one forward.
All right. It has been shot up. It has been shot up a bit. It's more, there's more stuffing popping out of it. It's still going, but it seems to be barely going, still barely up. You're just seeing just blank white stuffing coming out of it.
Yes, you granted me a plus one, right?
Plus one forward for, yeah, Marcus. As I took a couple shots at Vigo.
Right.
It looks like he was not doing great, Vigo, but yeah. I'll say, can you do something to finish him off?
I will say, there is one thing you do feel rustling around your leg as something's going around your leg to Cal.
Oh.
Oh.
How much you want to bet it's the other half of the dragon?
I think I will leave those two to worry about it because I think he's personally affronted that this thing has survived quite possibly his most powerful attack. So people like beings should not be able to get up again after that. So yeah, I think he's gonna pull back his knife and try to just go at it. Just go at it like the psycho killer, man.
Nice.
Okay. Oh. And I kind of wish I could roll two moves into one move here, but that would be breaking the game, so never mind. Even though my tough is horrible for some reason.
I mean, I explained my tough as he's getting on in age, so he's not as tough as he used to be.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess that I like to think of it as, like, physically he might not be as strong only because being half of what he is has doubled down on his magical ability, but as a result, lessened his physical ability.
He's just a wee slight lad, but his magic is great.
A little. That is a 7.
Oh, mixed success.
A mixed success with a plus one forward, which means that's 8.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yeah, you got to take the plus one forward, so it's an 8.
Okay.
Not enough for me to help out though, so and I've already helped.
All right, Marcus, how do you want to do this?
I think if I can, remind me, this is the. This isn't the dragon. This is the other puppet, right?
Yeah, this is
This is Vigo.
This is Vigo.
Vigo the Papathian.
Yeah. I think
Wesley.
Yeah.
Wesley.
Yeah.
Just you know, thunk.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't looking at the
thunk.
See, that was my thought. That was my thought. Except for, I think I have one that might be a little bit more metal. Just I know between the eyes it's classic, but. But it is able to speak because it was saying, "I will return," right? So like I'm imagining like a ventriloquist mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Just going up, down, up, down. I think he's just gonna haul back the knife and just plant it through its mouth.
Ooh.
Through the back of its head. like sticking it to the floor. It's dead.
Okay, yeah, you stick it through the back of the head, and you kind of get it kind of does like a jerk, like you've almost weirdly enough, like you stabbed through. If there was an actual person working it, you stabbed through the hand.
Okay.
Ooh.
And then you see this weird green energy floating off of it briefly for a second as it goes limp and falls.
I'm gonna keep an eye on that green energy.
Uh huh. Why is it always green? Bad guys love green. It doesn't. No, I'm serious. If you watch any classic Disney movie ever,
oh, yeah.
Okay,
green with black.
All the villains, green or green in some variety, and just it's weird. Anyway,
the Black Cauldron, Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty,
Lion King,
right? Be prepared.
And then. So many others.
Here's the thing that kind of creeps you out from as it briefly forms like the most hateful emoticon of Kermit, just
What?
Oh no.
The Fetchy Kermit, like, have you ever seen the Kermit video about him breaking into an apartment with a gun? It's like that.
Okay.
I haven't. I'm kind of thankful.
Look at Marcus and say, well, he's not happy with you.
I can imagine his little, I can just imagine his little scrunched up face when he goes,
The dads seem to have taken down one of the creatures, but there's still two or three left in the shop. And what's going on with that scratch on John's face? Oh, dang. Some of the others have gotten scratched, too, and are attacked, too. So are we going to have a trio of Muppet Dads? Find out next time on Time to Face the Music, Part 4.
Dungeons & Pop is a tabletop variety show. The campaign you are listening to is a ongoing one-shot reoccurring characters campaign using the Monster of the Week system.